Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up, Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Let's get that out of the way. Mama Momo's here. That's all that matters today. Mama Momo's here, and we will talk basketball with her. We've got all sorts of breaking news. Real quick at the top of the show, I want to shout out the city of L.A., the protesters real quick. A lot of peaceful protests yesterday, very little looting. Peaceful protests in front of the mayor's house yesterday, and everyone pretty much for the most part behaved themselves peacefully, and I just want to continue to make sure we mention that, and I just want to shout out kind of the protesters who took that approach yesterday. Very little violence, very little looting, very little anything outside of peaceful protests, so shout out to them. Momo, basketball is back. Give it to me, Momo.
I know people are so excited for basketball to be back, but it's not quite back. It's going to have, like, tomorrow the owners have to vote on this still. But, you know, we have the outlines of a plan, and they've been keeping a lot of details pretty close to the vest, because I think in this day and age, as soon as you share details with anyone, they start to leak. Yeah. And then people hear them before they've been told by the right people, and they get upset, right? So yada, yada, yada. So now we're a day away from the NBA Board of Governors vote. It's what we've been talking. I think we talked about this last week, right? It's 22 teams, yeah, 8 regular season games, then a play-in tournament. The details on the play-in tournament are interesting, though. That one I didn't know until just recently of how that was going to work, because as you can tell, there's 4 teams in the Western Conference that get added. Yeah. Sorry, 5 teams in the Western Conference that get added, and only 1 in the East. So how does that work?
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's my first question. What are we doing there?
The way it's going to work is it's really just going to be after those 8 regular season games, which will be determining seeding. So that's interesting up and down the playoff race, right? I mean, how you play out of the gates is going to determine seeding. And I think especially in the West, where people are pretty tightly bunched together between 3 and 7, I guess. That's where they're really tightly bunched. There we could see some movement based on how people come back in those 8 games. But the playoff tournament is the play-in tournament is essentially just the 8 and the 9 seeds in each conference, and it only happens if there is less than there's 4 games or less between the 8 and the 9. So in other words, if Washington, which right now I think is it 5.5 back or 6 back?
I'll tell you right now. Hold on, give me
it's
one.
5.5. So yeah, Washington is five and a half back
of Orlando, right?
Of Orlando. If they can't close that gap, if they're still 5.5 or 6 games back after those 8 games, then there's no play-in tournament. Orlando just gets the 8 seed.
But if they do, then them and Orlando would play for the 8 seed.
Right. And the way that would work, though, you have to give some advantage to being the 8 seed, right? So it's going to be double elimination for the 8 seed, but single elimination for the 9 seed.
Ooh, I like that.
Right? So how else, you know, because right now, if you're Memphis or if you're Orlando, you're like, what the heck, man? I got a 5.5 game lead on this playoff spot. Why should I have to play in? I got to get some kind of advantage, right? So that's a pretty good advantage. Like, yeah, they have to beat you twice.
Yeah. I like that. And then, so the West, you would have Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and San Antonio.
Right.
And Phoenix, technically, I guess?
Phoenix is in two, yeah. They're 6 games back.
Right. So they're within the striking distance, right? So then those are the teams that will then try to figure out if they can close the gap. So let's say they're all within, let's just say that for argument's sake, they're all within 4 games. Then what happens?
Well, then it's just 8 and 9, whoever's in 8th place and whoever's in 9th place.
Oh, I see. So, okay. So there won't be like a play-in for the play-in is what you're saying.
Right, yeah. Now, I'm not totally sure what happens if there's a tie for 9th, which is, you know, quite likely. Right.
Well, maybe like with baseball, you have the 1-game playoff, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's one detail I haven't heard yet. Because I mean, if you think about it, there's 5 teams in the West that are within 6 games right now, right? Mm-hmm. Of Memphis. Memphis has a 3.5 game lead on, I think it's Portland right now, that's sitting right there in 9. But really close. The other teams are really close. You know, the Pelicans, the Spurs, the Kings, they're all right there. Okay, so you kind of have to get hot. Like, it's going to have to, I would say, you know, the teams that are going to play, I don't know if you have to go 7-1, 8-0, whatever it is, but you're going to have to get hot in those eight games coming back, which is going to be hard because you're playing against other really good teams. Like, you're playing against all the playoff teams. You're not playing against the dregs of the Eastern Conference or,
right,
you know, the eight teams that don't get to compete.
So the eight games in the regular season, like, how are is the schedule maker just going to go in there and redo a schedule?
Yeah, that's the big question, and how they're gonna do it. I assume teams that have already played each other and finished off their, you know, season series won't play each other again, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are some matchups that already exist that work, right? Of the remaining games that already would have been played, a lot of those are probably already there. So what are we going to do with the other games, right? The games against the eight teams that don't exist anymore. It'll be interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the part I don't know. I think they'll be presented at the Board of Governors. I don't know if they've even offered that yet. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, they have a lot of questions to do because it's, you know, it's an unbalanced schedule. And I think there was like sort of a last minute push, George, to get all 30 teams there. A lot of teams didn't like a lot of those eight teams. They want to compete. They don't want to have 9 months between their last games. They don't want the embarrassment of, like everybody else is in Orlando and we're not. Like, it's not great for them in their home market to not be there. Right.
Right.
But I think ultimately, and this is really important to say, the reason why you go with 22 over 30 is just simply health and safety. Health and safety is the number one thing for the NBA and its players. And it's, you know, there's a much bigger risk between having enough team, players, coaches, staffers from 30 teams and 22. That's it. And it's just hard to justify the other concerns that those eight teams have when you consider the extra number of players you would need to do it.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. But I'm digging it. Now, I have seen stuff where teams may be allowed to bring their own home floor and things like that to create like a home court advantage. Like, I saw that they're at least discussing that as a possibility.
So I haven't heard that. I saw Dave's report, Dave McManaman reported that last night, that the teams that are like, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Raptors, like, they're all kind of like, hey, wait, you know, we're the top two seeds in our conference. How, you know, everybody else is going to have a level playing field. What does this home court advantage get us, right? So I think there have been some ideas kicked around for how you could give a home court advantage to certain teams. I don't know if it's even made its way to the planning stage yet. I think those have just been discussions. Mm-hmm. We'd have to ask Dave how far he thinks that is along. I haven't heard it, but the one thing I have heard is that there may be sort of preferential treatment on hotels.
Oh, okay. Well, we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the things I've heard. You know, I think there's, from what I heard yesterday, I think there's either four or five hotels that are going to be used. And life inside the bubble is not like going your freshman year at college. Like,
what?
It's not like everyone's going to be ordering pizza and hanging out in the hallway.
I want to gain the freshman 10.
It's not going to, I mean, I think it'll be fun in a way though, but you're going to have to maintain some social distancing while you're there. Like, you can't come and go. You can't just like hang out all the time in the hallways. Like, you sort of have to keep to yourself. I've heard that you can golf. Like, there's a lot of golf courses there. I've heard that you can dine at the outdoor restaurants following the safety protocols that you would have to follow anywhere else for those types of things. But I think you have to still follow social distancing protocols in addition to the testing.
Right. Yeah, look, I think all those things make sense. And I think that, look, there's going to be people that get, you know, their hand in the cookie jar and all that stuff. And, you know, but look, I think you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to have hall monitors, right? For lack of a better term. Right. Like, that's probably going to be part of this.
Yeah. You know, I think the issue with the players, and I'm pretty sure the players are on board at this point. Michelle Roberts has been doing calls with players on all 30 teams for the past like week and a half. So every day she does a call with like three or four teams, right? And so that's a lot of players that you're getting to, right? Mm-hmm. And all of these things have been collectively bargained. The union has its own health and safety people, its own medical experts. The NBA has its own medical experts. So all of these things are have been, you know, collectively bargained and talked about, et cetera. I don't think there's going to be a lot of surprises at the end. The players have a pretty good understanding of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, saying you're okay with it and then going down there and, like, just do the math. I mean, it's late July until potentially, you know, early October.
Right. It's a long time.
Yeah, it's a long time. Now, last week I had heard that they players wanted to be able to have some family members join them in Orlando at some point. And, you know, obviously that doesn't make sense right away when there's 22 teams. But after those regular season games and after the play-in tournament, maybe even the first round of the playoffs, I think there's a pretty good support for the idea that players' families, a limited number of family members, would be able to join them there. In other words, like, you don't just have to go back to your room or, like, maybe go golf or walk around, go for hikes all day. You can have your wife or your kids there.
Okay. Yeah. At some point that will be allowed as teams get eliminated, right? Like, I think that then you can then kind of fill up those rooms with new people. You know what I mean? Like, that makes sense. So I'm going to go rapid fire here on some of the stuff in Dave's story. And you tell me, like, we'll just play a game. So don't aggregate it. We're playing a game. I'm going to ask you for a percentage you think that something like this actually goes through in from Dave's story. Okay.
Yeah.
Higher seeded team being awarded the first possession of the second, third, and fourth quarters following the traditional jump ball to begin the game.
Do I like it or
no? Do you like it? And then what do you think of the chances of that actually happening?
I don't see it. I just think, you know, I think those are like pretty big changes. Like those are pretty, you know, big things to put in.
Yeah, you're giving extra possessions is what you're giving.
Plus, I think this is one thing somebody told me about when we were talking about the advantages for higher seeded teams. You know, if you put all these advantages in there to sort of inflate it that way, whoever wins this year, it's already going to be kind of an asterisk year. It's already going to be a weird year.
No asterisks. No asterisks.
You know, doesn't this further put an asterisk on it?
I don't think so. I think it's interesting at least, but
yeah.
All right. So here's another one. The higher seeded team being allowed to designate one player to be whistled for 7 fouls instead of 6. I actually really like this because I would protect LeBron at all costs. Dwight, right? Like you, because he's like kind of a foul machine, right? And you kind of need
him. I don't want to see more fouls. I don't want to see like a ton more fouls. Do you? You want to just see like hack and
well,
hack,
I do want to protect. You know? I do want to protect the stars. So if I can, and the stars don't foul that often anyway. But if I can protect the star, like if I can protect Giannis and LeBron and Kawhi or whatever, or you know, and then of course you know on some teams they'll be like, well, why does this guy get the more fouls and why don't I get the more fouls? We'll have those stories, which will be juicy.
Yeah.
You're not feeling that.
I don't like fouls in the first place. I don't like extra free throws.
Okay.
I mean, just think about these games are going to be rough watches in a way. Because
beginning. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So teams are going to be rusty and now you're going to just have like a bunch of fouls and free throws. Ugh.
So here's another one. Higher seeded team receiving an extra coaches challenge. I do like that.
I like that.
Because I think that the coaches challenge rule stinks in this sense that I think it should be like the NFL. If you win, you keep it, you know?
Yeah, I like that a lot because that to me is like that's not changing the spirit of the game. That's just like a nice. It's not doing anything really really strange and different than we've seen before. You know, 7 fouls, that's really different. But an extra coaches challenge, that's a good advantage. I like that.
Yeah, and I mean the coaches hate the coaches challenge, so actually that'll be kind of funny that they actually have another one at their disposal. But so those are just some of the other things that are in Dave's story that I wanted to ask you. All right, you know what I'm going to do. We're just going to – let's open it up to the people because they have – I'm sure they've got questions for you. 877-710-ESPN. If you have questions about all the different scenarios here for the NBA to return, the different formats or formatic questions, Ramona's gotcha. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Plus, Major League Baseball, we've got news on them. Jeff Passan and Buster Olney dropping some information. We'll have that. Sean McVay – made some comments recently about his team and how his team addressed the civil unrest and the protests and things like that. We'll have all that coming up in just a few moments. Stick around here on the Sedano Show. Mama Momo hanging out, 710 ESPN. We're back in a couple minutes. We're taking your calls. Open it up for you next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out today on a Wednesday. She does every Wednesday. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things easier to help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com. And she's giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So, phones are open, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you have questions for Ramona about the NBA's resumption and the formatics of it all and, you know, all the things that are in this potential proposal, which some of it is confusing, for sure. Let me ask you this before I get to the calls, Ramona. What do you make of the possibility, since there are not going to be any fans, where we start hearing the floor mics more and we hear cursing and jawing at each other and coaches' commands and guys yelling out defensive, schemes and tactics and things of that nature?
I think we got to do it, right? You know who I think the fans are going to be? I think the fans are going to be the players on the other teams.
Correct.
I mean, they don't really have much else to do, right?
Right. So they're just going to watch games.
They can golf and hang out and watch games. But, like, I think it'd be kind of fun, like, to go to those games, right?
It's going to be like Orlando Summer League.
Yeah. Yeah, people are just going to turn up. So I think the fans are going to – there's not going to be no one there. You know, there's going to be some fans – eventually, it's going to be like there might be some family members, which will be kind of fun. It'll be like rec ball, right? Like mom and dad up in the stands.
AAU.
AAU, right? So that'll be fun. But I think the mics, there's still a part of me that says players don't want everything they say to be on camera. They just, they're nervous about that.
Right, because things get said, on the floor in heated moments.
Well, you know how it works now, right? Yeah. You know how it works now.
Oh, yeah.
There's somebody who, a lot of things are mic'd up and recorded and like for the sounds of the game kind of stuff.
And it's all got to be approved by a person. Yes.
Yeah, there's a person. There's a sort of culture police there.
A TOC, right? I believe, is what they're called. That's their acronym.
What is it called? TOC?
TOC, I believe, is what it's called. Yeah, that's an acronym. I don't know what it stands for. Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So there's a person who approves it. And I remember a couple of years ago, remember when the Warriors were playing the Rockets and Kevin Durant said, Steve Kerr said something to Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
And it made it onto the broadcast.
The Jordan thing.
Yeah, and it was definitely not something that Steve Kerr wanted on the air. And he was mad. He was like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been caught by the TOC or whoever that is, right?
Right.
Like, that was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. TOC is the narc, basically.
Yeah. The culture police, right? Yeah. I mean, that's... I'm wondering if how that's going to... Because the players are still protective. I mean, I know that, too. Just when you're playing, you say stuff. You're in the heat of the moment. You're in battle. You're going to say some stuff that you really don't want the public to hear.
Yeah. I will say this, though. The cursing, who cares? We just had a Jordan and Lance documentary that cursed every 10 seconds.
Right. That's true.
And if you want to watch the clean version, maybe we can run those games on ESPN, too, where there's a delay and all that.
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. Jimmy, if you want my advice on how to do all this stuff, I'm available. You know, I just want to let you know if you want to. Jimmy Pitaro, if you're available, I'm available to kind of consult you on some of these things. let's go to the phones. Jim, speaking of Jimmy, Jim is on the 5. Jim, what's your question?
Hey, man, it's so great to be on the phone with you guys. Thank you. I'm honored. George, your delivery is so unique. And Ramona, I need to tell you, I have a weird basketball reporter crush on you because I just adore your work. I'm so impressed with you guys. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So Ramona, two questions, kind of a two-part. When we come back, and we're so thrilled to have basketball back, what happens if a player tests positive for COVID? Are they going to go through a 2-week thing? And then what is the NBA also worried at all about, what happens if, somehow, half the players catch it and we're going to be, have to shut it down? Are they thinking about that kind of thing at all?
Well, what I'll tell you is I think there are a bunch of health and safety protocols that we're going to learn about over the next day or two. They've been studying it. What I've heard, just sort of anecdotally, is – they're less concerned about one or two players testing positive. That's easy enough. You just isolate them. You test everybody who they've been in contact with. You kind of keep them isolated until they have, I think it's 2 negative tests in a row, right? It's not just it's not just a period of time. It's when they have negative tests, right? So sometimes sometimes that could be right away. I mean, you could heal, you can get better from it and test negative, you know, 3 days later.
But
what they're worried about, is an outbreak, like some 5 guys on one team, you know, six staffers. I mean, it's not even just players. It's coaches and staffers, you know, trainers who'd be there. I don't know, whatever broadcaster is going to be there. Probably some media relations people might be there. So they're worried more about, like more of an outbreak, whether, you know, it's with a lot of people.
Isn't there potential that like, oh, wow, we got a ton of people. We just have to stop again. What is that like?
Yeah, it's possible. And I think, this is something I would say is if that happens, like the way they've arrived at this kind of consensus is the same way that we arrive at the decision to shut it down again if we need to, right? Like, I think that's, everybody's been talking to each other so much that they feel good about it. And if it gets unsafe or things happen and they have to shut it down and just say, okay, we tried, it's not going to work, then they're all on the same page because they've been talking about all these kind of eventualities the same way, you know? I don't think there's a lot of debate over when and where the line will be.
Hey, go ahead, Jim. You have one more?
Yeah, real quick. Do we know that December, like by Christmas, that's going to be like open back up? Are we starting December in the bubble again? That's a weird like.
Oh,
angle,
thank
right?
you. Yeah, that's a good question. Like, what is December? Have we even thought about what December looks like yet?
Yeah, people obviously have to think about it, but right. I think that the sense is, well, it just depends on what the world looks like. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if there's a vaccine by then, if we're getting close to that, we might have to be in a bubble. Yeah, that could be a possibility. But I think everybody's like, let's worry about this year and let's get through this year while we can.
So I have a question for you. If we're getting there July 31st, right? Okay. If the teams are getting, when do you expect the playoffs to start? Like early August? Like how early in August?
That sounds right.
So like if there's 8 games, that probably will take two weeks to play?
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I think it's going to be like games all day long. It's not like,
right.
I don't think you'd play 2 games in a day or anything, but
No. Like, every team will play, but I'm saying like every team has to play 8 games. So my guess is that would take probably about 2 weeks.
10 days, 2 weeks. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they want to play every day. Like one of the big reasons that everybody is the reason why people are into this is because they don't want to have injuries. Like that's a really big concern.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important to give players enough time to like really get back in shape before you start playing playoff games. It's like, I mean, George, you remember the lockout year when they had a 2 week training camp.
Yeah.
And
66 games in 123 nights.
Yeah. Way too much. And there was a lot of injuries, like the kind of injuries that happen when you don't have enough ramp up time, like Achilles injuries, right? You had a lot of those types of things. You had a lot of muscle pulls that led to other things. I mean, it's just not nobody wants to see that brand of basketball when we come back.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely not. Yep. There's no way that's the case. All right, let's go to Mitch. Mitch, what do you got? What's your question?
How are you guys? Hope the babies are good. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Be safe at both sides. Get some common sense. But what I got to say, with this danger, I wish I just go to 16 playoff and go straight to the playoffs. If you still don't have the answers, and you're going to have the families, you know, who wants to be away from the family 1 week, let alone 2 months, why can't you just go straight to 16, right to the playoffs where it was? They want to get in a couple of good young players, I understand, but I can't wait for next year's draft. Do you think that's going to have, are they going to go to the 16 game straight to the playoffs?
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. I mean, Ramona, what went into the 22 teams opposed to 16? Like, what was the logic behind it?
The logic was simply they want to have regular season games that are meaningful, right? And if you're just playing 8 games with the 16 playoff teams, they're not necessarily, quote-unquote, meaningful. I mean, I guess it would just be for seeding, but you have to have something that's, like, at stake, I think. And, you know, a lot of those teams that were right on the bubble of the playoffs, like they're within, you know, 3 or 4 games, it didn't feel fair to them to cut them out, right? To completely say, like, you, that's it, your season's over, you're too far back. Because historically, they're actually not too far back. Now, maybe I personally, I think Washington is too far back. I don't know why we need to include them in this and Phoenix. But if they were going to have a play-in, nobody liked the idea of it just being the Western Conference. I mean, I preferred it. I was like, my vote was always for 20 teams because it just seemed like those four were the ones that actually had a case, right, to be chasing a playoff spot. And, you know, that's the idea, is you want to have something at stake in those eight regular season games that you're playing. You don't want to just have exhibition games. So that's why 22 as opposed to 16.
Right, right, right. And basically, once you're in the bubble, you're in the bubble, right? Like,
right.
Even if you're a member of the media or part of the league or whatever, you're there as long as you have whatever work you're doing is scheduled to happen.
Yeah, you don't come and go. You don't come and go. Now, it's going to be interesting how they work out the details of it. Like, Michelle Roberts is on record as saying she doesn't want to have, like, armed guards there. It's going to have to be some level of honor system. Players are going to have to, like, okay, we're all doing this to keep all of us safe, right? They can't just... And this level of trust and of, you know, who's going to be coming and going and how you're going to manage your life inside the bubble. I mean, I think it helps that it's at a pretty secluded resort and there's a lot of activities there. There's a lot of things you can do.
Right.
A lot of golf, George, a lot of golf.
Yeah, I may start to have to pick up golf real quick if I end up going there because...
Just work on your short. Just go to the driving range. That'll be fun.
Yeah,
right?
that'll be it. Yeah, that'll be it.
But
and I like to eat. Yeah, so there's
there's outdoor... And you know, it helps that the restaurants there are mostly outdoors anyway. So that helps.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be like college where you sit in the hallways of the dorm hanging out. Like, it's, you know, you kind of go to your room and you keep up the 6 feet, you know, you keep up the social distance there. So I think that's what's going on with the, you know, inside the bubble. By the way, I think we need a poll question, George.
Okay.
I'm not usually a poll person.
Let's
but
do
I might,
it.
I might do a poll just because I think it's important right now. What are we calling this? Is this life in the bubble? Is it under the dome or on campus?
Okay. Bergman, let's get the social team on that.
Can we
let's,
do that?
Let's make that happen.
And is there another like thing that we can name it?
The audience can suggest it via Twitter at Ramona Shelburne at Sedano. Feel free to hit us up and we'll get to that. Coming up next, we didn't do the baseball stuff. We'll take more calls because I know there's a lot of people that have questions on hold right now for you at 877-710-ESPN. We didn't get to the baseball. Jeff Passan and Buster Olney have some interesting information on the resumption of baseball. So we'll have that.
Yeah.
We didn't get to Sean McVay and his message to his team about the protests. It was very, it came across as very inspiring, according to the guys in the locker room. So we'll hear from Sean in a second. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Ramona Shelburne, Mama Momo, hanging out today as she does every Wednesday. Always happy to have her aboard. So look, there's a lot of things going on right now in the world of sports. The NBA is coming back. Baseball is on the horizon. But obviously, we've talked a lot the last 2 days about the protests and the cause for the protests and George Floyd's murder and trying to unite and empathize and really try to really help our black brothers and sisters. And it's just, Ramona, real quick, before I play the Sean McVay sound about his team meeting with the Rams about this subject, I think, you know, I've had a number of people on over the last couple of days, from David Fizdale to Herm Edwards, Mark Spears, and, you know, the like, and so many other people. And we've talked about the one thing we've agreed on is the encouraging signs of when you look at these protests, the different colors and backgrounds and faces that you see in these peaceful protests.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think it's I think what's interesting, too, is, you know, I've felt this sense of like, okay, you know, my voice is meant to amplify the message right now. I'm supposed to, you know, my feeling is that I should listen to what people are saying. I should amplify and support as much as I possibly can. Right. And I just think that, you know, it's been really cool seeing players and everybody sometimes just like get out amongst the crowds. Right.
Yeah.
And you see the Lonzo Ball and his brothers were out there. Right.
Yeah.
Trey Young was at a rally.
Yeah.
I mean, now look, the part of me, there's a rally that's going on by my house today. And my dad was like, should we go? And I was like, I can't. It's, I am, I'm too scared by the risk of COVID. I'm, you know, there's just a part of me that right. as much as I want to be out there supporting people and all that, like, I just, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. And so there's a part of me that every time we talk about this, I'm like, come on, people, just stay safe. Like, whatever you do, make sure you got a mask on when you go out to march. Make sure you're keeping as much distance as you can, right? Like, I just, I would hate to see the ramifications of this.
Sure.
You know, all these protesters get COVID now, you know, because they're out there for the right reasons. So.
But I do think Steve Kerr nailed this on a tweet yesterday. He talked about the younger generation coming up more diverse, more tolerant, more informed than the generations before them. They're smart, they're energized, they're connected and ready to build a country and a society where everyone feels safe and protected. And I think, you know, he's 100% right. Like, the younger generation have grown up differently. And Herm Edwards was on me the other day, talked about that. And speaking of which, Sean McVay, head coach of the Rams, had this conversation with his group, his players on his team on the Rams. And here's Sean about how that meeting went.
I want to start off and just, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with the Floyd family. This tragedy has affected our entire country and really our entire world. And, you know, with all the things going on, we thought it was really important as an organization to have a team meeting yesterday to really provide the platform, most importantly, to listen, to learn, and to empathize, to demonstrate compassion, and really give guys an opportunity to speak on how they're feeling. And it was really powerful. I mean, the amount of guys that spoke up, that had the strength to share some of their experiences. I mean, you talk about an amazing learning experience for me. You know, one of the things that I wanted to make sure that I echoed and articulated to our players was, you know, while I can't ever say that I've been the victim of racial profiling or discrimination, I have been raised to know what's right and what's wrong. And I've been raised to love people, and I love people. Sports has provided such a unique background for me because of the different diverse groups and people you get exposed to, where these prejudices, these stereotypes can totally be erased and eliminated, and you get to just get to know people for who they are and love people. And that's what's great about sports. That's where, in some instances, as you reflect on all the things that are going on, it's been eye-opening for me, because you don't ever really think about it as you just love people. But you're really saying, am I asking the right questions to try to really have that empathy and that understanding? And it's been really awesome, the guys that have been willing to share the different perspectives, and most importantly, how we best heal and how we really unify and continue to try to identify ways from listening to our players, different staff members, on how we can really try to cultivate, continue to create and embody an atmosphere with the Rams that demonstrates those things that we want to be able to have. Hey, that's what it looks like to do right and have a care and compassion for people. But I think it starts with understanding, and that's really what yesterday was for. And it was powerful is the word that I can use, and just very thankful and appreciative for the you know, amount of men that were willing to share from a lot of different backgrounds.
There was a lot, and that was Sean McVay. There was a lot of players, Ramona, who were on social media yesterday from that locker room tweeting or posting about that meeting. So clearly, you know, they were echoing basically Sean's sentiments there. So that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, you know, for a coach like Sean McVay, right? He's just young white guy, right? And he has to lead a group of men who are from all different backgrounds, right? Whether it's they're white or black or rich, poor. There's other races on the Rams too, right? I think there's some
Asian,
Pacific Islanders, Asian, right? Yeah. I mean, there's all different sorts of backgrounds on his team. And how do you find a way to talk to all of them? Right. How do you find a way to talk and resonate with all of them? I think a lot of it is really just showing up, is just opening the door, is just, you know, not just compartmentalizing it and saying, you go do you, you know, right? Like, you know, I want to hear you. I want to help you. I want to support you. Right. Like, just opening the door. And I think that's what's really good about that speech. Right.
Yeah.
He just found a way to just say, I can't relate to everything that you're feeling, but I could try. And I feel like in my background, like it's something Chinay Gumke said the other day on Get Up that I like too. It's like, you know, in sports, we're from a meritocracy. Like the best athlete usually plays, you know, whoever, like in baseball when I, and I played softball, like, man, it didn't matter who you were. If you could hit, you were going to play.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter what your name was, where you were from, how much money your parents made. If you could hit 350, you were going to be in the lineup.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there's any question. So I look, it's just another reason to, you know, to increase my man crush on Sean McVay and the Rams and what they do. But you mentioned hitting 350. What's going on with baseball? So Jeff Passan, Laura, play the first cut from Jeff Passan, and then we can kind of carry that over into the next segment. Jeff Passan on the clock, and it's ticking.
I think nobody in baseball wants there to be the lack of a season, but I think both parties understand we're getting down to the nitty-gritty at this point, where if they want to beat the NBA back, if they want to beat the NHL back, a deal needs to get done in fairly short order. And by proposing, or at least putting out there the possibility of a 50-game season, Major League Baseball said to the Players Association, hey, we always have this option. Let's meet somewhere in the middle.
And what is the middle ground? Let's do that on the other side, Momo. We're back in about less than 3 minutes or so. So we're back in actually 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out all day today. Brought to you by Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oil, made from natural gas. Gives you the unbeatable engine protection you need. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And, of course, Straight Talk Wireless. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. Saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So Mama Momo's here. We're going to hear from Jeff Passan and Buster Olney here in a second about baseball's return and how they want to beat the NBA. I don't know, man. You may be behind the eight ball there. We'll get to that in a second. But we were just talking about our children. So, Ramona, you just asked me about my son, who is, you know, I don't know, like a week or two older than yours.
I think he's a week older.
Yeah. So when I in one of the breaks, I went to grab water. And as I walk out, I see my daughter grabbing a towel. My office in the house, is, which is also like a guest room, is next to the garage. So you, she came downstairs, and I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, Daddy, don't go upstairs. And I'm like, what happened? And she's like, Mateo, the sliding glass door was open. Mateo had the hose, and he came in. He started wetting everything. And I was like,
oh, my God.
Okay. Yeah. That's life in quarantine in my life right now. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we do. Like, it's like usually the first couple of times we play something, Daniel has a lot of fun with it and it's good. And then after like three or four times, he finds some way to make it dangerous or something that I have to stop him from doing, you know, right? Like, so, you know, lately we've been going for walks around the neighborhood and he runs up and down and he runs on the lawns and stuff like that. But then the last few days, all he wants to do is run up to everybody's front door and open the door handle. And I'm like, nope, that's
can't
their
do
house.
That.
We don't go to their house. Yep. Nope. And, you know, and we're in the COVID time. So you don't want to touch the surfaces. And
Yeah.
So now the game is me chasing after him and picking him up right before he gets to the other people's door, to my neighbor's door.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. So let's get back to baseball here real quick. So we heard Passan talking about how the Major League Baseball wants to beat the NBA and NHL back, but the clock is ticking. And look, here's what's happened. So we, you know, for those that don't know the blow by blow, basically, you know, maybe you've been under a rock, but basically the owners wanted to split revenue with them, with the players. And that was a non-starter for the players. The players said, we want at least half our prorated money. Like they want the 81 or 82 games worth of money. If they're going to play half a season, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Owners like, nah, let's split the revenue as opposed to the prorated. Players like, get out of here. So the players came back with, okay, we'll play 114 games and take half the season's money. So 82 or 81 games worth of money. So we'll give you more games for less money in theory. And which, you know, is an interesting tactic. And the owner's like, nah, how about we give you even less games? We give you like 50 games and we give you the full money for those games, for those 50 games, which is about 30% of your salary. So we're kind of inching closer. Each side is inching closer. So the question is, what is the middle ground? Here is what Jeff Passan Ramona said, about what the middle ground is.
Okay.
The Players Association came to Major League Baseball, Kevin, with a 114-game season at a full prorated salary, meaning they would get about 70% of their expected salary. A 50-game season would pay them about 31%. Let's remember, though, do a little bit of math here. 50, 114, what's right in the middle? 82 games, which is exactly what Major League Baseball had proposed the first time. So it seems like if there is a spot for them to land, it is going to be in that 80-something game range. And maybe if the players agree to it, a slight pay cut. And that is how, presumably, we're going to see baseball in 2020.
So basically what Jeff Passan is saying is the owners are playing a Jedi mind trick on the players, is what, yeah. What he's saying.
Yeah, look. I'm going to make a bold prediction, okay?
Okay, let's hold on.
Give me some noise.
Bold prediction. Hold on. Let me move my microphones. I'm going to do a drum roll. Hold on.
All right. they will be playing baseball in July. We don't need all this haggling. It's just going to be prorated pay for 82 games. That's it. It's going to happen.
Boom!
We're getting to it. We're happening. Yeah. I mean, I think that we're not as far away as any of the posturing has made it seem. Like, I think a lot of this is Scott Boras style negotiation, back and forth. Like, you know, look how we negotiated Bryce Harper's deal. Look how we negotiated, some of the bigger deals that he's done in the past few years. There's always this back and forth and name calling and, right up to the brink. Where you challenge people to make the best and final, right? But I think we're going to get right down to it. The current agreement already provides for them to get prorated salary based on how many games are played. I think we end up with 82. And I'll tell you this: I really don't think we're going to go beyond 82. I don't think the 114 games is viable because it requires you playing deep into the fall. And the one thing I have consistently heard from people in all sports, well, I will say all because I don't know what football's talking about, but in basketball and in baseball, nobody wants to be playing or having meaningful games scheduled in the fall because of fears of a second wave.
Yeah.
And, if you have a plan that involves playing games between October and December, and especially like World Series and playoff games, that is almost a non-starter.
Okay, well, I've got something for you. Ken Rosenthal is reporting that Major League Baseball made official what was expected. We know that the Players Association offered a 114-game proposal. MLB is not countering, which brings the possibility of implementing a 50-game season into play. Ken Rosenthal reporting.
Mm. Yeah, I don't believe that either. I think we're going to end up right at 82.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be 50. It's just, this is all just negotiation. I think it's stupid. I think we should just
strong arming, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Just, okay, fine. You don't want to play 100. You don't want to play 82. Well, we'll play 50 then. Right. Like, I mean, I just think this is obvious posturing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
no, I agree.
Obvious posturing on both sides. That's wasting a lot of time. Although I will say this, I don't think that players need as long a spring training as you think. I'm pretty sure, just based on
who
I've spoken to, et cetera. I think 2-3 weeks. I think most players are pretty in good shape.
Yeah.
Ooh, hey. Bobby Marks has looked at our poll.
Oh, he has? Okay, well let's
he's
get
got
to
a better idea.
Oh, okay. Hold on to that because we have people on hold who still want to ask you questions about the formatics of the NBA. Let's go to Polo in Rosemead. Polo. Polo, Marco. Yeah. What's up? Yeah.
All right, there you go, guys. Hey, good job, guys. Hey, I just want to bring up a point about the NBA. It's a point. Maybe it's a question as well. I'm wondering if they've looked at WWE and professional wrestling ever as a model, because what they're doing is to bring in a crowd slowly back into it. They have the wrestlers themselves be part of the crowd. Now, what if the players, the teams that lose, they are part of the crowd and they keep them together as a result? That kind of solves a couple of problems there, where they bring in some people into the crowd, and it does create a difference, And I look at it as look, these players are complaining about not having a crowd. Well, look at players that play on Venice Beach, you know? It's like they don't necessarily have crowds. It's about the love of the game, right? You know, and it's about a paycheck, ultimately, right? So, you know, why not take that into account? They're complaining about all this stuff. It's like, hey, look, they're going to, when they go and play for the first minute, after that, they're going to forget. And they're going to be all about the competition. And I just wanted to, you know, just to kind of look at the WWE, at pro wrestling as just a model of what they've been doing. And maybe NBA could incorporate a little bit of that. Thanks a lot, guys.
What do you think, Bumble? Thanks, Polo.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, George?
I don't see fans until next season. Like, and if it's going to happen, it's going to be probably closer to the spring, and maybe they will start to implement people. I think the NBA is going to be super duper cautious with that stuff.
I don't think fans now, but I do think that there is a chance for fans next year.
Right.
And I'll tell you why.
You know what? Hold the thought. Okay. Let's break. And you tell us why on the other side. And we'll continue taking more calls. People have questions about the NBA's return. Ramona's here for you, 877-710-ESPN. We've got Bobby Marks' addition to our poll. We got all this stuff, but hold that thought, okay, about this particular conversation about fans returning to the NBA games. We'll get to that. Ramona hanging out. We're back in 2.5 minutes.